My guest at this time is California Republican Congressman Dan Lundgren, who represents California's 3rd Congressional District. Due to the redistricting in the Golden State, he is running to keep a seat in the 7th Congressional District on the new map. He is also a member of both the Homeland Security and Judiciary Committees in the House of Representatives, and the latter committee is among two committees that are clearly focused on renewing the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, better known as FISA, which has been in the news in recent year as the war on terror continues to be prosecuted. Those very important provisions are up for renewal, and we want to talk about that for the next few minutes. And, sir, thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Yeah, the original FISA law was passed in 1978. What we're doing is renewing the amendments that we passed and were signed into law in 2008. That will sunset at the end of this year unless we extend them.
And remind our listeners what the most critical components of those amendments are.
The real seriousness of this is that if we do not extend these amendments, we have testimony from the former Director of National Intelligence that we would lose approximately two-thirds of the available intelligence that we otherwise gather on those who would attack us, either nation states or terrorist organizations. It's a result of a technology change that took place after 1978 that rendered us blind, frankly, in 66 or 70% of the cases that we otherwise would have had an ability to collect. And so that is a tremendous problem. If you recall, the 9/11 Commission, in its review of what happened in 9/11, criticized the government in general for failing to connect the dots. This capability that would be denied us if we don't pass these amendments would not allow us to even have the dots before we even have a chance to try and connect them.
We're talking with California Congressman Dan Lundgren. And, sir, in terms of FISA, one of the issues that in recent years has come up with respect to that law and the amendments that you've just mentioned was the so-called warrantless wiretapping program. And there was concern at the time that law enforcement officials should get FISA permission from the FISA court. Others have talked about getting it after the fact, but retroactive to the point of needing it. What's the policy on that now?
Well, there's a little confusion about the FISA laws or the FISA amendments, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act laws, and the other things that people are talking about, the Patriot Act and what's also known as national security letters. The latter two, that is, national security letters and the Patriot Act, have nothing to do with FISA. They involve the type of intelligence that can be collected or directed at American citizens within the United States. FISA is covering communications that are overseas, communications between a non-American and a non-American. In the process of doing those things, you might somehow come upon a conversation or a communication with someone as an American citizen. Under those circumstances, you do have to go to the court immediately. You cannot target an American under the FISA law. It is really having to do with foreign communications. And just because of technology changes, it rendered our then-existing laws ineffectual. So if anybody is truly concerned about civil liberties with respect to Americans, this bill does not apply except in one instance. If, in fact, there is an American citizen overseas that somehow information is collected on, that has to immediately go before a federal court. So there's an additional protection in these amendments that did not exist with respect to the law before that.
Do you expect much opposition? I know to some extent the original debate over all this was somewhat heated as a result of the circumstances at the time. Do you expect much of a fight to get these renewed?
Well, we hope not. We've been doing our best effort to make sure that members are fully informed, that they know the difference between this set of laws and the Patriot Act, that they understand that this is directed at foreign nationals, not American citizens, and it's directed at communications that take place overseas. Once people understand that, they support the law. There has been, as I say, confusion in the past, and what we've been trying to do is to remove that confusion. We've had both public and private briefings from members of Congress. We've tried to answer all their questions. We've had the availability of people from the administration who are responsible for those things, career people, military people, Justice Department folks, and all of those involved. And I think we, well, at least as far as I can see in all the meetings I've been in, I believe the questions have been answered to the satisfaction of members. So I suspect a strong vote. It will not be a unanimous vote because there are some that still have concerns. I don't question their sincerity. I question their conclusions. And there are those, frankly, who don't like the idea of espionage, surveillance, even of citizens of other countries. A country cannot exist, this country could not exist, if we didn't have the intelligence. It is the key missing link in protecting us against those that would do us harm, either nation states or transnational terrorist organizations. We are freer today, and we have been more protected since 9/11, in part because of the ability of us of our people to be able to gather intelligence and then analyze it. This is crucial to that effort.
You may get the argument, don't know if you have already, sir, that we are essentially out of Iraq. Things are winding down over the next couple of years in Afghanistan, and so perhaps due to the degradation of al-Qaeda, the threat may not be what it once was. Do the events of the last day or so in North Africa and elsewhere bolster your argument for why these need to be renewed?
Yeah, obviously, I never look for instances like this. We try to avoid them as much as possible, but this is precisely why we have to use the advantages we have. And one of the great advantages we have is I think, the best intelligence operation in the world, both in terms of collecting intelligence and analyzing that intelligence and then transferring it to our forces and our intelligence agencies in terms of their operations. Without this intelligence, we would lose a huge, huge asset in our arsenal. At the same time, I will say this. There are a number of us in the Congress who, because of the positions we have in different committees, spend a tremendous amount of time ensuring that these processes are not abused and they're not directed against American citizens, and that if a question of Fourth Amendment rights comes up, that is adjudicated by the appropriate court. We do spend a great deal of time on that. The oversight has been increased tremendously with these amendments, both internally within the executive branch and with us in the legislative branch. We are privy to decisions made by the Fisk Court, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court that is set up specifically to ride herd, if you will, over the executive branch. We now, in the Judiciary Committee and the Intelligence Committee, have access to all major decisions, all memorandum, all arguments that are made before the court so that we can see, in exercising our oversight responsibilities, what the facts really are.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. I know you've got to head to the floor. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
California Republican Congressman Dan Lundgren represents his state's 3rd Congressional District, running for re-election in the 7th due to the new map in California, member of the House Judiciary and Homeland Security Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.